Good morning.
Morning.
But just a brief backdrop to the talk this morning. What I originally thought that I would talk about was things that came up in the practice circle and try and talk about it from the point of view of practice. And then I was out for a walk, actually, and I started to hear these reports about what was happening in Washington. And this is also related to last week. I started to, as I started to see this unfolding, the one thing that hit me right away was all these people were white males. And that got me to thinking about the history of men and how all the wars that were started by men, things like slavery that were instituted by men, oppression of women that were instituted by men, child labor, child sex trade, politics, on and on and on, all are backed by or was created by white men. And so I was thinking about giving a talk about how white men can take responsibility for all the history that came before us. But then that changed, and that'll be the talk of where it led me to. So as I said, I spent hours watching the rioting and the terroristic takeover of the Capitol building. And this was sort of the trigger point for me, which is even emotional for me today. They filmed a man in a t-shirt, and then on the top of the t-shirt was the word Auschwitz, and below it were the words Arbeit macht frei, which in English means work makes you free. Now, one of the reasons why this is so upsetting is that these words are on a sign across the main entrance to Auschwitz, and which was referred to by the Nazis as a work camp. And when I realized what I was looking at, I had this panoply of emotions, reactions. And in a real sense, it took my breath away. I mean, I just stopped for a few seconds, and I realized how incomprehensible it is to me, or it was to me, or is to me, how some human being could wear a shirt like this, which is based on the cruelty and the depth of all the anti-Semitic history and the hatred, and it made me physically sick. And again, for these few moments, it was impossible to think. And I suppose, in some way, I was in shock. And then a few moments after that, I was sitting with Faye. I realized that I needed to say something. I needed to express what was going on in myself. And then, and I mean this, without hyperbole, this guy was a Nazi. It was like we had gone back in time. And what was unfolding and what I was seeing in front of me was exactly what happened as Hitler came to power. And then I started to realize the anger, the outrage that I was feeling and having thoughts that I wish somebody would beat the crap out of him. These are not thoughts or feelings that I generally have, fortunately. But I don't know if I would use the word hate. But there was an incredible outrage and anger that I felt that I was hoping that harm would come to him in retribution. And so I hoped that the police would use the same amount of force on him and the other protesters that they had for the Black Lives Matter protesters. You know, tear gas, nightsticks, rubber bullets, all this anger. I wanted to see this happen. And then my feelings turned back to outrage for what would have happened. Would have happened if the nonviolent Black Lives Matter protesters had laid siege to the Capitol building. And then at a certain point, these feelings turned to sorrow. Sorrow for all the people who have been hurt by these hate-filled, bigoted, angry people. And then I popped back into intense anger. And I can't remember a time in my life when I was swamped with so many intense feelings, one after another and back and mixed in together, And then at a certain point, I realized that it's not crazy to have all these feelings, given the circumstances, but that there's a danger of inviting them in and locking the door. So the question that arose for me was, how do I live in a society that permits this kind of horror, and but skillfully doing my part to make things better and not to make things worse? And I don't mean this in some grandiose way that I'm going to get on a podium in Washington, D.C. and somehow change the course of events. I was thinking much more of, what do I do in my daily life that I promote making things better in the people that I meet, in my family, with my friends? How can I, within myself, working on myself, be able to do that and stay centered? So it was, how can I become a peacemaker and not the perpetuator of suffering? So I realized the first thing I needed to do was to get on my cushion, and that this would help me get centered and to get connected again with life. And that life includes everyone, and it excludes no one. Even the most hateful person is not excluded from life, because everything is one. It's all interconnected, as we know. So sitting, I hope, would help me respond rather than to react. Because certainly, what I talked about just a few minutes ago was a total reaction. I would not be in a place to respond, not be in a place to do anything constructive, because I was filled with outrage. So I thought sitting would help me respond rather than react, and to become fully aware of my thoughts and my feelings, and whether they were serving the circumstances or not. So as you know, my guide for living a life of service and compassion always goes back to the three tenets of the peacemakers: not knowing, bearing witness, and compassionate action. And I'm not sure whether I'm going to go over these, but I'm not sure who I'm doing it for. For you, or for me, or for all of us, which is probably the case, for all of us. And I know that you've heard about these a number of times before in talks that I've given. But somehow I feel the need, as part of this talk and out of my experience, to talk briefly about these tenets. And I would call these tenets skillful means. They are a guide in moving through the world in a compassionate and loving way. And the key part about this is, it's not something that I can apply. All of a sudden something happens on TV, and so I go to the closet and I take out the tenets and say, okay, which one do I start with? This is a practice. It's something that has to be practiced every day. And it comes out of our practice of Zazen. And it helps us to remain centered through all sorts of different experiences. Now, we know that these three tenets are not one, two, three. They're all interacting with each other, even though I'm just going to talk briefly about each one in a series. So in the context that I'm talking about, not knowing trains us continually to set aside fixed ideas, preconceptions, judgments, and prejudices. Even if it means, toward this guy, the hateful t-shirt, I have to be very aware of my own perceptions. If I'm going to remain in these circumstances and not be a perpetuator of suffering in my own life. And when I can do this, or when we can do this, there can be a flash of openness or a shift to being fully present, which in these circumstances is certainly needed. So not favoring points of view, you know, that I see clearly what's right and what's wrong, but not favoring those rights and wrongs is not to be seen as a lack of caring or a lack of compassion. Rather, not favoring one thing over another allows us to be centered and to realize the interconnection with all beings. If I immediately come to the fore with all these prejudices and ideas and the right and wrongs, I am creating a connection with the people and the circumstances that I am confronted with. And that is the key thing that I don't want, or I don't think we should want to happen. Because if we do that, if we allow that, then we are not going to respond appropriately to the circumstances. One little way that I could have perpetuated suffering if I didn't work to center myself, I have a brother who lives in Arizona who is a born-again Christian and a Trump supporter. And if in the original state that I'm talking about, before I started to practice the tenets, I could easily see myself calling him and screaming at him and being totally unreasonable and uncompassionate. And so that's the simple everyday life thing that I'm talking about, not being a participant in perpetuating the kind of behavior that took place in Washington. The second one, of course, is bearing witness to the suffering of others. Now, this is the practice of seeing all aspects of a situation, including attachments and judgments that we have. And our practice, Zazen, trains us to bear witness by strengthening our awareness of thoughts and feelings and sensations as they arrive and pass. And as our awareness strengthens, we begin to experience spaciousness and stability, and to see that we have a choice to respond to whichever arising. Now, in my emotional state, there was no choice. I was not seeing clearly. I was reacting. So my responsibility is to stay as centered as I can so that I, in the moment that it's happening, practice what I preach, to get myself centered. And if I do that, then I'll see more clearly and in all likelihood respond appropriately. And then the third is compassionate action. And that means simply acting from connection, from a place of connection to all beings, and not to fall into separation. It's impossible to predict what action in any situation will be, or the timetable for when it will arise, or what might result from it. But our underlying intention is that the action that arises be a caring action which serves everyone and everything, including ourselves. And this is what I was thinking about when I was wanting to be a peacemaker, wanting to move into that space. So training with these tenets is a matter of taking a backwards step again and again and continually discerning our internal processes in the midst of acknowledging what is happening around us. And the step backwards means we don't react. We prepare to respond. So the action that arises from the engagement of not knowing, and not knowing and bearing witness, is spontaneous and often surprising. And it always seems to fit the situation. Well, I had other things that I wanted to talk about. I think I'll stop there. And thank you.